Well, this afternoon we're going to be going back to our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians, but this morning, on this last Lord's Day of 2014, I felt led to give a simple exhortation concerning this, being thankful to the Lord always. It just seems appropriate at the end of another year of grace and mercy. And I'm sure all of us would declare with Jacob, and I often think of these words, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. No, all that God does for us, all of his mercy, all of his grace, comprehending all that he does and has done and will do for us is all unmerited. It's all unmerited by us. And that's what grace is. It's the unmerited kindness of God toward man. Now, the Old and New Testaments are filled with reminders and exhortations to constant thankfulness. For instance, Colossians 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And same epistle, chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ingratitude is sinful. It is a symptom of the fall. It is the fruit of selfishness, and it is the hallmark of rebellion. We read in Romans chapter 1, the verse 21, because that when they knew God, what could be known of God, what could be known even by those who did not have the Word of God, not preached to them, not revealed to them, not in any way, but yet they were guilty, and they had stirred up God's wrath and due. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's the second thing said. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And it goes on. Now, we know what it goes on to, including talking about that sin that many preachers of the past said lowered men lower than the beasts. Oh, we rightly think of that, and we know that there needs to be a knowledge of that, how terrible that sin is, destructive and hateful, and certainly how God hates it. But do we gloss over this, thankful? I hope not. We're to be thankful. Read 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, let's turn there and I'll read it. 2 Timothy 3, I want to read several verses. The point I'm making is ingratitude, being unthankful, is a terrible sin, and it's a symptom of rebellion against God. It's the natural state of mankind when he's in full rebellion to God. They're unthankful. Now, here we have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a passage that begins with, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I know it's common for preachers to say, yes, I think we're entering those days. No. These New Testament times are last times. And you see that throughout the Scriptures, and you can, for instance, look on what look at what Peter says in Pentecost, and he speaks of these are the last times, the last days that the prophet Joel spoke of. But going on, and I believe there are these warnings, because no doubt those who realize in the early days of the church that these are gospel times, the full light of the gospel doctrines, and we have the New Testament, and so many things that were obscure have been brought into full light by the Holy Spirit and through the apostles and with the word we have. And there's a great power in the gospel, and it's going out into all the world, and the arm of the Lord made bare. But don't be deceived. There will be these sort of men as well. In fact, those that can turn away from the grace and mercy of God in Christ, preach to the gospel, will become exceedingly hardened and sinful. And there's a warning of this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You read this and you realize those that preach that, well, by the time Christ comes back, the whole world will be Christianized, and all men will be living under the rule of the gospel and the law of God. You realize how wrong they are. But I believe it's just as wrong to say that by the time Christ comes back, the whole world will just be given over to the devil. There'll be a tiny little remnant of his people just hanging on by their fingernails. That's wrong. But we've talked about that before. What I want to point out, though, is that here we have a catalog of despicable sins. Oh, such iniquity. Such sins of the deepest dye. And then right in the middle of the list, what do you see? Unthankful. It's no small thing to be unthankful. Now, a people, even an unregenerate people, which are yet savored with the effects of better spiritual times, and so by the grace of God, many possess and exhibit a certain fear of God, as well as certain, we can call them righteous qualities, putting righteous in the right context, such as honesty, integrity, industry, kindness, and a sense of gratitude. I say you see this among such a people. It's a gratitude which toward God is generally very limited, and perhaps it's much more shown toward men, but there's a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of thankfulness for what others do for them, or for others doing their duty and they derive good out of it, or whatever it might be. There is a sense of gratitude among even those who are not Christian. But I say there's still this savor of better spiritual times. Now, I was raised at a time when children were taught to show gratitude and voice gratitude when it was right to do so. Children were taught by their parents, both by their words and their example. It's not enough to say your thank you, Johnny. Say, no, the parents showed it both by their words and their deeds. I remember sometime after I was born again, how utterly disgusted I was and still am when I started running into Christians who took for granted and seemingly were not at all thankful when others would show them some favor or do something for them or give them things out of kindness or fulfill duties by which they benefited. I was just absolutely disgusted. I could see these people just took it all for granted. They just went along and take like the horse leech and never thankful. And such obviously grew up with the notion that, well, they're the center of the universe. And so they have an entitlement mentality. 1 John 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, it's not that love for our brothers precedes love for God in the order of things, because it doesn't. It's the other way around. But those who don't love their brethren give evidence that they don't love God. And it's a similar situation with regard to being thankful. Those who say they're Christians and they're thankful to God, they might say it with their lips somewhat, but it's obvious by their life that they're very unthankful people, ungrateful, even in how they treat others. You will find that they generally do not have thankful hearts, and it does show, I would say, with regard to God. It shows in various ways. I thought about the 10 lepers who were healed, and only one of them came back and thanked the Lord. It says in Luke 17, 15, and 16 are the verses, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The Jews, with all of their advantages, the others were Jews, all the advantages of being a Jew, they didn't come back and thank Jesus for what he had done. The Samaritan came back. Christians have such blessings, such advantages. I mean, this is a weak and tepid way of putting it. Over the whole world, we ought to be a very thankful people, a very grateful people. Now, I want to speak on three more points concerning gratitude in the Christian. First, that thankful is as thankful does. Secondly, that gratitude, joy, and praise are intrinsically and inseparably connected. And third, that gratitude has an effect on our own hearts and lives as well as that of others. But first, I think it's just right to remind all of us who are in Christ that there is no excuse for us to be unthankful to the Lord. And we have every reason to be daily thankful at all times. In fact, we have uncounted blessings for which to be thankful. And it's daunting to even talk about it because one feels as if he should just begin and not miss anything. And how can you, you'd still miss some things, of course. But let me just summarize some things. We should be so grateful, those of us in Christ, that before the foundation of the world, the Father, the Son covenanted together to redeem and save us and bring us home to everlasting glory. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each set about to do what was needful and is needful for our salvation and to bring us home to eternal glory, each doing what's proper to that person of the Godhead. And of course, in the fullness of the time, Christ Jesus came, made of a woman made under the law, to save us from our sins. He came to obey in our place, to suffer in our place, to die a terrible death, to suffer the full wrath of God poured out into his soul and propitiated, to make a satisfactory atonement and a full satisfaction to redeem us and to purchase for us the remission of sins and to justify us and to bring us in to the new covenant and to the inheritance of the saints in light. And he rose again and ever liveth as our prophet, as our priest, as our king, as our head and our good shepherd, our righteousness, our fountain of light and life and grace. And we think of when we were not in Christ, how long-suffering God was with us, but more than long-suffering. It's not that he didn't just destroy us. He was merciful to us. He supported us more than we know and held us up through many things, some through more than others. His mercy was new every morning to us. He provided all things needful for our bodies. He gave us many wonderful things, even before we were in Christ. Even when we were at enmity with him, by nature children of wrath. And he delivered us from a multitude of deadly dangers. Some of us, yes, more than others, but all of us. From so many deadly dangers that we don't even understand or comprehend all of them. I'm talking about all sorts of dangers, physical dangers, diseases, and accidents. I'm talking about things that would result from the darkness of our hearts. I'm talking about spiritual and moral dangers even. And he restrained us from plunging into who knows what sort of sin and darkness. And he overcame our will. Sovereign grace. Some don't like the sound of it. I think it's wonderful. Sovereign grace. Without sovereign grace, where would I be today? Where would you be today? He overcame our will, and he called us with an irresistible call. And he, by the Spirit, shined the light of the gospel into our hearts and created faith. And life, and we received the remission of sins, and he clothed us with the righteousness of Christ and regenerated us and adopted us as sons of God. Sons of God. Think on that. Sons of the living God and loved by God as his children. And every time I think of gratitude, the whole subject of being thankful, I think of Psalm 103, the verse 12. For instance, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Don't you rejoice in that? Aren't you thankful? He puts them out of his sight, behind his back. And, of course, we're no longer condemned. No longer are we under the power of sin. And even as Christians, when we do sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, never condemned again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But there is a corruption, there is an influence, and there is an offense to God. And we confess our sins, and these too are removed and put out of his sight, and we're cleansed of our sin. And we've had faith, hope, and love, and all the graces of God implanted in our hearts. We have been given the graces and gifts of God through Christ. We have all, as Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We have God as our Father. As I said, we have Christ as our prophet, our priest, our king, our head, our good shepherd, our righteousness. We're preserved in Christ. We're kept by the power of God, and our eternal inheritance is reserved in heaven by the power of God. The Holy Spirit is our inner witness, our teacher, our comforter, our guide. We're born in New Testament times. New Testament times. When you think of what that means, and I've talked about many times, how could we not be an exceedingly grateful people when we see we have so many more blessings, put it that way, than even God's people in the Old Testament times? And as for us right here, we were born in a country where we are free. We have religious liberty. You cannot put a high enough value on that. And of course, we have all the covenant blessings and the promises of God in Christ, both here and for eternity. We have the scriptures also in our own tongue. We're part of the blood-bought church. What a privilege, what a glory, what a blessing, what a benefit. We have the infallible resurrection of our bodies waiting. What a wonderful hope, what a bracing hope, what an encouragement. And we even have so many blessings of this very world which are proper for us to enjoy. And here we are under the covenant care and protection of our God, on whom we can cast all our cares, as the scriptures say. Again, Peter by the Holy Spirit wrote the verse, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The psalmist says in 116, the verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, certainly of the body to this day. Oh, but couldn't something happen tomorrow? We commit ourselves to God's keeping and His wisdom and kindness and love. We pray, of course, for the safety of our loved ones and ourselves, but we commit ourselves to His wisdom and His will. But we are to be thankful for everything we've received to this day. You are alive here today. God has cared for you, taken care of you, protected you, delivered you. Be thankful today for everything to this moment. Yes, thou hast delivered my soul from death, but far more importantly, He has delivered our souls, those of us in Christ, from the eternal death of the body and soul in the suffering of hell. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. Certainly we could speak on many things, but hasn't He delivered us from a way of life which ends in sorrow and grief? And certainly weeping and gnashing of teeth in eternity, and my feet from falling away from Christ and into unbelief and the dominion of sin, and as I say often, who knows what? Yes, the Scriptures are full of exhortations and reasons for us to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 2, the verse 14, but thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Of course, Paul speaks of the apostles, but it's true also of the church. I say the church faithful, the church fruitful, the church that is out in the world as the light of the world. There's always a great victory when we go out into this world with the truth as it is in Jesus and proclaim it unashamedly from hearts of love for Him and the lost and in sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this speaks of victory first over the last enemy, death, and the resurrection of the body. There, that victory. We ought to be so very thankful and give thanks to God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, and I will not expound on it because I've done it many times with all that it comprehends, but for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. We are to be a thankful people. We are to be a thankful people. We are to glorify God by thanksgiving and praise, including, of course, setting example for our own families. Paul sort of, I guess, sums everything up, if I can put it that way, in 2 Corinthians 9, the verse 15, speaking of Christ Jesus, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, I want to then move to my three points. The first one is this: thankful is as thankful does. It is one thing to declare oneself from time to time thankful to the Lord. That's good. We ought to voice our gratitude to the Lord among ourselves and encourage others and so forth. But God sees the heart. And Proverbs 4, verse 23 warns us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We have in this an exhortation to take heed to the condition of our hearts. Do we take good care of our spiritual man? Yes, with regard to having a thankful heart as well. And with regard to that, do we nurture a grateful heart by daily remembering what wonderful things the Lord has done for unworthy us, and by thanking Him for His great mercy and grace? Do we do that? Is it in our minds always? And do we thank Him then? Do we thank Him daily? To nurture a grateful, thankful heart is so very necessary. And to this, we must then keep in mind and remembrance what the Lord has done for us. We must consider, think on, ponder, rehearse the depth and breadth and width and circumstances of the mercy and grace of the Lord, which He has shown to us and to our loved ones. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The condition of our heart will bring forth fruit and actions and a way of life consistent with what is in our heart. And this will have a pronounced effect. True thankfulness is a heartfelt gratitude first, and then it's a way of life. So we need to nurture gratitude in our heart. And the thankful Christian will show forth his gratitude to the Lord by his heartfelt worship and praise, and by his jealousy for the Lord's name and word and church, and by a desire to serve the Lord in spirit and truth. Thankful people, thankful to the Lord. Voice it, yes, but also desire to show their gratitude by deed as well. John, in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Same thing is true about being thankful. Gratitude, joy, and praise, to go to the second point I want to make, are intrinsically and inseparably connected. Now, it seems to me to be a self-evident truth that those who have faith, of course, as the scriptures tell us, have in their hearts the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And as for the self-evident truth I mentioned, it seems to me then that those that do have this faith and this substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen have had their eyes open then to what great things the Lord has done for them, beginning before the foundation of the world into the present day, and have ever in their mind all of his promises for here and for all eternity. And it seems to me then that such would be thankful, exceedingly thankful, and more so as they mature in the faith. Now, the immature Christian might not be so thankful. I don't know. But it seems to me that the more mature you are, the more thankful you would normally be. And the more you're made into the image of Christ, the more thankful you will be. It would be impossible then that such gratitude rooted and grounded in faith, the grace and experience of faith, it would be impossible that this would fail to stir up joy and rejoicing as well. I say to be thankful, to be grateful, to have this gratitude which is rooted and grounded in faith, in the grace and experience of faith. This will stir up, it must stir up joy and rejoicing. Now, after all, if we have a heartfelt gratitude, why do we have it? It's because we have a spiritual and experiential knowledge of what the Lord has done, is doing, and will do for us, all of his mercy and love and grace. And to have such a knowledge and experience cannot fail to make us grateful to the Lord, of course. And if grateful on such a basis, then joyful and rejoicing. And if we joy and rejoice in the mercy and grace and blessing and bounty and promises and inheritance of the Lord, then how could we not worship and praise the Lord in spirit and in truth and consistent with hearts overflowing with thankfulness and love? In the scriptures, we often see thankfulness, joy, and praise companion together, since they are in truth inseparable companions. In the temple service, the singers gave thanks to the Lord and praised him. Let me also read, for instance, and you see things like this throughout the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 31, the verse 2, "And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the Lord." You see there that thanks and praise our companions, and of course this praise is elicited, brought forth from joyful hearts. Nehemiah 12, verse 46, "For in the days of David and Asaph of old there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." You see praise and thanksgiving yoked together again. Isaiah 51, the verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Now we can take that is said here by the prophet, and we can say that that is the picture of the revived church, the lively, faithful, fruitful, spiritual church. And what do you see? You see these: joy and gladness, thanksgiving, the voice of melody, that is, praising the Lord. Psalm 95, the verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 106, the verse 1, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And again in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And Ephesians 5, the verses 19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then again in Colossians 3, the verses 15 and 17, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So you see this exhortation to praise bracketed by this exhortation that we should be thankful, thanksgiving, joy, praise. We see their companions, constant companions. Hebrews 13, the verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Heartfelt gratitude to the Lord will nurture heartfelt joy and will be manifested in heartfelt praise and worship of the Lord. Feeble, half-hearted, routine, tepid worship is a sure sign of an ungrateful heart and perhaps an unregenerate heart. It goes without saying that the Christian who is grateful, thankful from the heart to the Lord, is the Christian who keeps in his mind and thinks on and rehearses and considers more and more what great things the Lord has done for him from before the foundation of the world into the present moment, and what glorious eternal things the Lord has prepared for him. I am not one that says that life will be a bed of roses, not for the Christian. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God, the Bible says. There is a cross also to carry. Of course, if we're going to be faithful and fruitful, in this country the cross is not very heavy, is it? But we need to crucify our sin nature, don't we? The reality is there will be tribulation in this world. There will be trials. There will be sorrows. But a grateful heart will help us to bear up under those as we consider what God has done for us. And that will bring joy to our heart. That will help us. That will encourage us. That will comfort us that he is with us and he will do more for us. He will never leave or forsake us. And so it's so important to have a thankful, grateful heart. Now, just a few words more on the effect, or some, but far from all, the effects of heartfelt thankfulness, that is, of a heart full of gratitude. What I mean is the effect on the thankful Christian. I've already spoken of the joy of the Lord and mentioned that in the order of things, thankfulness must precede joy, because immediate thankfulness flows from the realization and knowledge and experience of what great, wonderful, glorious things the Lord has done for us and given us, undeserving us. And this realization and experience is immediate upon regeneration, that we know our sins have been remitted, and we know we've been washed and justified and regenerated and adopted of God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We have that assurance in our hearts. And so we have the realization and knowledge of what the Lord has done for us. How can that not then result in joy? I say thankfulness and then joy. Immediately, we're thankful for what the Lord has done, and then this, of course, causes us to rejoice, and more with the spiritual man. Now, if we're truly thankful, we'll be truly joyful. And the scriptures declare the joy of the Lord is your strength. To have the joy of the Lord rejoicing in faith and hope and love as a child of God is our strength. Those with faith, hope, and love will most certainly be thankful. Being so always conscious of what the Lord has done for them, and so they will have the joy of the Lord. The ungrateful heart will not have the joy of the Lord. The grateful heart will have the joy of the Lord. Proverbs 17, the verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Mary has a sense of joyful and glad. And so the grateful heart will be the joyful heart. The heart that says, the Lord hath done great things for us, will be glad, whereof we are glad. The Christian who remembers daily what great things the Lord has done will be thankful, and so will be joyful. Now, I don't want to give the impression that thankfulness is the fountain of all of the precious gifts and graces of God, not at all. But thankfulness is most certainly the offspring of faith, hope, and love. And the scriptures show almost constantly thankfulness as being a companion to, for instance, peace. Colossians 3, the verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It is nonsense to think that if we're not thankful, we're going to have the peace of God to the extent we might in our hearts. To know the peace of God, which passeth knowledge, to the fullest that we might. We will not if we're not thankful. And then confidence, too. Just an assurance. Philippians 4, the verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I say just a confidence in God's care of us and an assurance that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he'll carry us through anything, that things, no matter what they are, that if we rest in God's wisdom and care, that he will be with us and not allow us to sink into utter despair and be ruined. Well, if we're not thankful, I cannot see how we can realize this, be careful for nothing. I just don't see how an ungrateful heart would realize that wonderful place and blessing, because it is the grateful heart that has been rehearsing, remembering, ever conscious of what wonderful things God has done for him, all the grace and love and mercy of God all of his life. And so when things come along that are hard, or tribulation, or trials, that heart has already been, if you will, conditioned to trust in the Lord more and more, even through that, because he looks back on the things that God has done for him, and he has been considering that every day of his life and thankful for these things, and so he has his confidence that God will not leave me now. God will take care of me. Now, I've emphasized that true thankfulness flows from faith, and it's nurtured by keeping ever in mind, considering, pondering, rehearsing what the Lord in mercy, love, and grace has done for us and given us, and his infallible eternal covenant promises to us. I've emphasized that. And the importance, then, of thanking the Lord and the inexorable connection to write praise of the Lord and joy. Now, this is the way of thankfulness then, to remember what God has done for us, to remember every day and think about it, and more so. Think about it, ponder it, consider it, rehearse it in our minds, and thank him. This is the way of thankfulness, and it will stir up joy, but at the same time, it's going to help us to be strong in our confidence in the covenant care and mercies of the Lord. When we consider the past mercies of the Lord who changes not, and then turn to the future, we can say from faith and experience with thankfulness and joy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ungratefulness is a canker to the soul. It's an offense to God our Father, Christ Jesus our Lord, and grieves the Holy Spirit and quenches his work and harms our brethren and our children by our wretched example, as well as being a terrible witness to those who are not in Christ. Those of us in Christ ought to look around us at a dark, dying, decaying, depraved world, multitudes without God and without hope, dead in trespasses and sins. The night of the Passover, the homes of the Egyptians were filled with darkness and death and sorrow. The homes of the Israelites were filled with light and life and hope and joyful anticipation. And here is a figure of the blessed condition of those in Christ. Our hearts, and I hope our homes, are filled with light, life, hope, and joyful anticipation. God, help us to fill our church with it. We have much for which to be thankful. May the Lord help us to nurture thankful, grateful hearts. It will be to His glory, our good, and that of our brethren and our families. And in closing, just a word to the unconverted. Psalm 145, the verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. You ought to be thankful to the Lord. You ought to be grateful to the Lord. He has not given you over to your sin. He has brought you into this church. You have heard the word of the Lord preached. You have had it taught to you at home. You ought to be grateful for all the blessings and bounty that God has given you, all the wonderful things even of this world that's proper to enjoy, but certainly that He in love and mercy has put you in a Christian family, and He has put you in a Christian church, and you have heard the word of the Lord preached. You have heard the way of salvation. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek Him for faith and for life. He'll hear you. Come to Him. Come to Him with a repentant heart, but also give thanks to the Lord, for His mercies endureth forever. Amen.